Another NFL weekend has come and gone. Which rookies stood out? I got a few linemen, but you know we got to hit quarterbacks. That's next on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir. Welcome in to Locked On NFL Draft. That good-looking dude over there is a former NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. Flash those pearly whites, my man. And I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter for the Houston Texans. I'm so used to saying that on all the radio shows I do here, Eric. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like I'm the host. No, I didn't mean it like that. You are the host, though.
You do a great job of that.
It slips out, man. I'm just so used to saying that. But I'm John Harris and owner-operator of Football Takeover.com. We appreciate you making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen of the day. And you know what? Check us out on YouTube as well. Give us a watch right there as well. Eric, we're going to start with the NFL weekend. And obviously, each and every weekend, I'm fortunate to be down on NFL sideline, but get a chance to watch some games. And two things happened with quarterbacks that I don't know that we were expecting either one of them to play. But they ended up going in and I thought doing a pretty admirable job on both sides. One was drafted in the first round. One was drafted in the fourth round. The Steelers went to Kenny Pickett. The Patriots were forced to go to Bailey Zappe over Brian Hoyer. Let's start with Pickett. He's the first rounder, Eric, so it's easy to think, okay, he's the future. Question A, is it over for Mitch Trubisky? And B, Pickett did throw three interceptions, but one of them, I think, was late with the Hail Mary. Your thoughts about Kenny Pickett in Pittsburgh? Is he the guy?
Yeah, you can kind of justify really all three interceptions and put them on someone else, right? You had the one downfield where he's pushing the ball down the field. You like it. Chase Claypool, you cannot let a 5'8 defensive back really kind of make it to where not only do you not come down with the ball, but it ends up getting intercepted, right? So we're talking about a ball that went off of a guy's hands, albeit it was contested. But you're 6'4", 6'5", you got to at least help your quarterback out and make it to where if you don't catch it, nobody catches it. Maybe it gets batted down, et cetera. It ends up getting intercepted. And then the other two passes went off of receivers' hands for interceptions, right? So, I mean, not to give Kenny Pickett a pass, it is what it is, but I do think there were some good. Matter of fact, not even the only three passes, his only three incompletions were interceptions. So none of his passes hit the ground. So I guess there's good and bad that come with that. I did see some where he has pressure right up the gut, free runner at him. He's about to get hit. He knows he's going to get hit. He doesn't take the easy way out. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to hit my check down. No, he ended up turning, flicking it, and throwing a drive throw to Freiermuth. There we go. Yeah. Oh, man, all these names, man. It gets a little confusing. But I saw a lot of good stuff. I saw some gutsy stuff. And I would assume that he showed enough to build off of that and them say, you know what? All right, we drafted him in the first round. We're not getting anything really out of Mitchell Trubisky, which they gave it 3 weeks and a half to see if it continued, if it started to get better, especially for a veteran. I don't think they got that veteran play out of him that they were expecting. So they went with the rookie. Again, saw some good stuff. No balls hit the ground. Unfortunately, three incompletions. All interceptions. I don't expect that to happen again. But, yeah, keep getting hit those big-time players the balls.
Yeah, and it was announced today that he's going to remain as QB1. Not too totally surprised. And I being in Houston, I mean, you saw this, Eric. You had a whole offseason to sort of prepare for Trey Lance. We had an offseason to prepare when Deshaun Watson was drafted. We didn't know when Deshaun was going to take over. We just knew it was going to happen at some point. Well, it happened halfway through the first game of the year at halftime. We're going to Deshaun. And then, of course, he took over as a starter until he was traded to Cleveland. So I've kind of seen that transition. And I can only imagine that's what the Pittsburgh fans are going through right now. And that is, man, they're feeling excitement. And they're like, whoa, this is our guy. And yet there's still some trepidation like, okay, is he our guy? What if he's not our guy? Oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? I think Chicago is going through some of that with Justin Fields right now. And that's a different discussion, I think, because
it's a different situation. But let's talk about why. What are the differences between what Justin Fields is going through over in Chicago and what Pittsburgh has going on with Kenny Pickett, because they are kind of drastically different situations.
Well, now against us, they were able to run the ball, and we couldn't have stopped running water. Like, we couldn't have shut off the faucet all day. They ran for 281 on us, so Justin didn't have to do a whole lot throwing the ball. But he doesn't have a ton around him. Yeah. I mean, I think Cole Kmet is a really good blocking tight end. I thought he would develop more as a passing threat. Not quite there. Darnell Mooney's the guy he has. I mean, I think about, again, going back to Deshaun. When Deshaun took over as a starter here in Houston, he had Will Fuller to run deep. He had DeAndre Hopkins, where all you got to do is put it in the vicinity. He's got those two guys to rely on. And then a couple of years later, he ends up getting Kenny Stills. He's got weapons that he gets Brandon Cooks. Like, he had weapons to throw to his entire time here in Houston. I don't think that Justin Fields has that quite yet. And I think he needs a couple of receivers alongside of him. I think his offensive line is a good run-blocking offensive line. And I don't think right now, and I think this is important, the Bears staff that's there, GM and head coach, didn't draft Justin Fields. They walked in and Justin Fields was the quarterback. And I think that's a little different vibe than it is for the Jets, where Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas drafted Zach Wilson. It's in Pittsburgh, where Kevin Colbert, who is now moving on, but Omar Khan steps in. He was there. And Mike Tomlin, they drafted Kenny Pickett. So I think it's a little different for Justin. He's got maybe a little bit higher burden of proof, if you will, to the staff in Chicago that he is the guy. He's got to win them over in some sense. And obviously, he's an incredible athlete. I mean, you talk about big. I really didn't look at him across the field and thought, wow. He ran by me one time towards the south, and I was like, golly, he's bigger than I thought. His mechanics got to improve, though, and he's got to get off his first read. And there are some things that can be fixed, but he needs a little bit more help, too. He needs a guy that he can just go to. In Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett's got how many guys?
And that's what I was going to say. Like, that's probably the biggest difference, where he has just really – I mean, you look at the receivers right here, George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool – they got another rookie that they drafted out of Memphis. I'm blanking on his name right now.
Turner.
Turner.
No, what's
the kid out of Memphis? Man, I really like him.
Yeah, I know
you're
talking about. It's
but anyways, 5'8", 175 pounds.
Calvin Austin,
speedster. Yes. Watched him a lot at the Senior Bowl. I thought he was the second best receiver at the Senior Bowl. But you see kind of a plethora of weapons, including Friermuth, and what he can do. And Justin Fields just doesn't have that. But as it pertains to Kenny Pickett, I think that's why he has the opportunity to be successful. On top of that, he also has a much better defense. Now, it wasn't all great against the Zach Wilson-led Jets, and we can kind of get into some of his play as well. But overall, I think more times than not, they're going to be in games. Hey, we got a running back behind us who can run it. We can throw to him. Got a plethora of receivers. Let's lean on those guys. You don't have to be everything. You don't have to do everything. You are not in the same situation as Justin Fields. Let's get you out there. Let your playmakers make plays. And then let's just try to stay afloat. Hopefully, you know, they get back T.J. Watt. That's going to help the defense a lot. They're really missing him right now, but definitely an overall better situation. And, again, a lot of weapons there for Kenny Pickett. So I assume we're only – this is just the beginning for what looks to be, at the very least, a very stable situation for him.
No doubt. No doubt. Now, there used to be a show back in the 80s. It was called Zapped. Well, the Packers almost got zappied yesterday in Green Bay. We'll talk about Bailey Zappi. We're also going to hit on Eric's thought there about Zach Wilson. Caught a touchdown, threw a touchdown. We'll talk about Zach Wilson, too, because always talking about quarterbacks is good, especially on NFL Draft Show. But before we get there, I got to tell you about our next partner who has a product that I use literally every day. I started taking AG. AG's Athletic Greens. AG1 because, A, I'm 50. B, I got a lot going on. So, I mean, I need energy. And to be down on the sidelines, I got to have the energy for every single game. And see, although I don't want to always admit this, you know, I'm not as svelte as I used to be. So you take all that into account. You need something, right? What, just one thing. Can I do that? Well, that's what AG1 has. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and how about this? Adaptogens. I never heard of adaptogens. But I know it's got to be good because AG1 has put it together. I start using this, and it's fantastic. And I got my son to start using it. They came in the mail, and my son's like, hey, Dad, can I try that? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. He's been stealing mine, which is making me very, very mad. But all I got to do is go get some. It costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit, and it's way, way better for you than anything you could be doing right now. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/NFL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. It's AG1. That's Athletic Greens 1. Thanks again for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen every day. Now make sure you check out NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL. Locked On's local experts give you the inside scoop on the five biggest games of the NFL weekend, including Sunday and Monday Night Football, plus betting advice from the field's leading experts, Bet Online. Follow NFL Key Predictions every Friday on Locked On NFL, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. All right, Eric, in Green Bay, Bailey Zappe got on the field. And I got to rewind. This was probably, I think, Thursday or Friday. And Brian Hoyer used to be in our building. And I love Brian Hoyer. He's one of the most stand-up dudes we have ever met. But Brian really couldn't stay healthy. And he had gotten in 2015, he got two concussions in 2015. He went out of a Monday Night Football game against the Bengals, and then he had another concussion later in the year. And we always felt like, you know, he wasn't right when he played in the playoff game when we lost to the Chiefs 30-0. So when Brian was taking over on Thursday or Friday, I was talking to the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer, and we just kind of looked at each other and went, do you think he's going to make it through? And both of us were like, no. We had a feeling it was, and then we thought, wait, who's the backup? And we both, being in Houston, Bailey Zappe having gone to HBU for a number of years before Western Kentucky, HBU, now HCU, I actually called Bailey Zappe's games, and we both at the same time went, Bailey Zappe, and we kind of chuckled, like, in Green Bay as 10-point underdogs, this is going to go sideways. And Eric, it went everywhere but sideways for the Patriots when Zappe went in the game. I thought he held his own. I thought he made a couple of really nice touch passes. And here's the thing that I think people weren't going to know about Zappe. He is super confident, super confident. I guarantee you going into that game, he felt like he should have been the starter over Brian Hoyer. He was never going to say it, but that's the way that I know he thinks. So I wasn't surprised that he kept him in the game. What were your thoughts about Bailey Zappe?
A gutsy performance. And he got some help, right? You had another rookie out of Arizona State.
Jack Jones.
Jack Jones, Arizona State rookie, with the pick six. So especially when you get scores from the defense and the defense is playing well and really kind of corralling what the Green Bay Packers want to do, you want to try to take advantage of that. And I thought he did to the best of his abilities for a guy who, again, I mean, he was just a third-string quarterback a week ago. Right. You're not getting any starting reps as a third-string quarterback. And not only are you not getting starting reps as a third-string quarterback, leading up into this game, everything was to get Brian Hoyer prepared. This was not about Bailey Zappe. He's still doing scout team type stuff. Maybe gets a rep here and there, so he at least has an idea of what they're doing just in case there's an injury. Well, there was an injury right away. So now you go in. The coordinator probably doesn't know exactly how the call plays for him. Maybe he's like, all right, we're just going to give you same game plan that Brian Hoyer did or Mac Jones would have done. And I thought for the most part, he was pretty efficient. You look at some of his numbers, 10 of 15, 99 yards, 6.6 yards per attempt, one touchdown. And I think the biggest thing here, no interceptions. Got sacked three times for a total loss of 24 yards. So that shows me there's a good and bad there. At the very least, we're talking about a guy who didn't do anything to put the ball in harm's way when there was pressure coming, all right, whether it's a forced fumble and whatnot. So I think that part is good, and you want to continue to build on it. Bailey Zappe, who is Ryan's guy, and I'm so mad that Ryan's not on here right now to be able to talk about this, but a guy who has the all-time passing record in college football history for a season. He threw for a ton of yards. He was very accurate there. So I think there's a lot to look forward to when it comes to Bailey Zappe, a guy who's going to have more opportunities, especially with Mac Jones not capable of being in there right now because of the injury he has. High ankle sprain is probably going to be out at the very least three more weeks, unless he can rush back and depend on how severe that is. I'm looking forward to seeing him go out there and play a little more. And one, if you are at a place where you have to go in there and you have to be a guy, I think a good situation is New England, because for the most part, you know that defense is going to be pretty opportunistic. Got some big dogs in the AFC East, though. So we'll see who he has to go up against moving forward. Let's see who they have next.
Here's who they have next.
So they got the Lions, Browns, yep. Bears. I think this is a good stretch yep. for you to have to play to where it's like, hey, we can come out of here really 3-0. Now, Lions, they're putting up a ton of points, so you're going to have to score with them, even though they lost. Yeah. All right, Browns, we'll see. Bears definitely have your best chance to win there, and that looks like a prime-time game. But overall, good opportunities for him to have a little bit more of a soft landing if there is such a thing at the NFL level.
Yeah, I think getting the Lions struggling on a defense, giving up a lot of points. They gave 38 at home to the Eagles. They gave up 48 at home to Geno Smith. Let me say that again. The Lions gave up 48 at home to the Seahawks and Geno Smith. So getting the Lions in Gillette, I think, is going to be good. He's got a full week to prepare. It's not a short week. It's not coming off a Monday night game and you got Sunday. It's not a Thursday night game. He's getting a full-on Sunday afternoon game, getting a routine. I think we're going to see Bailey Zappe. I'm excited to see him against the Lions. I think that's going to be a fun one.
And we talked about the Lions in their defense, and this is just kind of from my experience, man. I've dealt with Aaron Glenn, so watching this, I really feel bad for him. He was actually a scout when I was with the Jets. So on my way out, like when I was doing like any exit meeting or something like that, I would meet with Aaron Glenn, who was actually a scout at that time. Not a coach, not a defensive coordinator, not any of that, a talent evaluator. And maybe he was one of the guys that were like, Croc's not it. He ain't the guy. All right. But I do want to see him do well.
I do too.
And it's tough, man, when that defense, they just can't stop giving up points. They are, oh, man. If you're an offense and you need to get going, I think that's the defense you want to play against right now. So Bailey Zappe, good opportunity playing against the Lions. We'll see how it works out, but that's a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, it is a good opportunity for him against that particular ball club. And you're right. AG is well-respected in our building. I mean, well-respected. I mean, we've seen hundreds of players come through our building from the beginning. And Mark Vandermeer, our voice, has done this from the beginning. And if you say, Mark, who's your favorite player? You get player out of your mouth, and it's Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn was always his favorite player. And he's got that Texas blood in him. So we're always cheering for AG down here for sure. But going against Bailey Zappe is going to be interesting because he's from Victoria, Texas, too. So a couple of Texans going at it next Sunday. We'll see how that goes. Now, there were more rookies that made an impact. One right in my backyard. One, well, he had a solid ball game against the Steelers. We were talking about that earlier. We'll talk about a few more rookies that shined when we get back. But first, it's time to talk a little. Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find everything you're looking for. Player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, in-depth articles, analysis, and every game you can find. And BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information on any sport you're looking for. Major League Baseball, if there's MMA coming up, live betting, up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Eric, let's take this one home and talk about anybody that we missed. Spent a lot of time talking about the quarterbacks, obviously. But I want to start the final segment here. Other rookies that caught our attention, you know, the ones that get kind of the honorable mention medals, if you will, because quarterbacks are always going to get their flowers first. But I got to start with my guy right here in Houston, Damian Pierce. Went off, had 131 yards, his first 100-yard game in the NFL. He took 175 yards to the house. It was in a game that it looked like we were dead in the water. Texans were down 21-0. He took it to the house and just was fantastic. At 131 yards rushing, one touchdown. And I'll give you one other stat that'll blow your mind. He had six catches. Now, if I say to you a running back has six catches, Eric, ballpark how many yards you think he would get in that particular game?
About 43.
Eight. Huh. He had six catches for 8 yards.
I think if you're a point per reception, PPR league fantasy, I think you like that because you still get the points for the reception.
PPR loved it because he's getting six catches and, of course, 131 yards rushing. But, Davis Mills threw him a couple balls behind the line of scrimmage. He actually had an 8-yard catch or 9-yard catch at one point that was pretty key, but he caught a few others behind the line. But either way, Damian Pierce has come in and give this organization a B12 shot and then some. It really needed it. There's no question about that. Who stood out for you rookie-wise outside of the quarterbacks? And obviously, I just stole Damian Pierce.
Well, you got to go to the big receiver over there, George Pickens, and the son of Carl Pickens. I always got to remind people that George Pickens, you got a dad that played some really good football over there with the Cincinnati Bengals. All right, but had a huge day. Was it 6 receptions, over 100 yards?
Yep.
And, that is on the same field with Sauce Gardner. So we'll get to Sauce and kind of what he did. But George Pickens having a really big day. And I think to me, the part that it stands out the most, and let me pull out their numbers, because it's not about what he did. It's really more so about what the others did not do. And they have some very talented receivers over there. All right. But how is this guy getting more love than Deontay Johnson, who had 2 receptions for 11 yards, Chase Claypool, 0 receptions, clearly 0 yards on 2 targets. All right. So those are guys who you think, hey, those are the guys, right? Deontay Johnson, he's been the target hog. He's the guy that was a 1,200 yard receiver in 2021. And it's George Pickens, who a lot of people, the hype on him heading into the season, I hate to say hype, but he started off killing it in training camp. In preseason, he was definitely someone who they were going to early and often. And you start to see that transition into the actual NFL season. But 6 receptions, 102 receiving yards on 8 targets. That's pretty good. That's pretty good right there on the efficiency end as well. But I guess the question is, do you see this continuing? Does he continue to get these options? And maybe it helps that there is a Bailey Zappe where maybe throughout camp you have George Pickens working sometimes with the 2s, obviously working with the 1s as well. But getting more of a rapport with a guy like Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're dead on. I think that happens a lot of times when you've got guys that might be on scout team and they're working with other scout team receivers and you have that synergy and all of a sudden some injuries happen and then those guys that were working together on scout team are now working together with the first group and you're just comfortable. You know where that guy's going to make his break. You know where he's going to be and you trust him. So I'm curious to see how Pickett spreads out the targets over the next how many weeks that he's going to end up being the starter or how many ever years it ends up being. George Pickens has said he's always open. But Eric Crocker, I don't think I've ever met a receiver that has thought otherwise. Like, no, I wasn't open on that play. Every receiver I've ever met thinks he's open. Every single time thinks he's open.
Listen, John, the good thing is when you're not open, but you're still open. And I think that's what he's alluding to.
Exactly.
And I think that was on full display a couple weeks ago. He had a one-handed catch down the field where he's diving backwards. And it was one that would somewhat rival Odell Beckham's big one-handed catch. I still haven't seen anything better than that. Because, he caught the ball with 3 fingers reaching back behind his head. But there is one that has been close. And we've seen a lot of people try to compare some one-handed catches to the Odell one. This George Pickens one, falling backwards, diving, laying out to where his body was parallel in the air and snagging that ball behind his head. That was almost as impressive as Odell. So when he says he's always open, I think he's alluding to the fact that, hey, just throw it in the air and I'm going to go get it.
Well, I'm always biased because in 2014, I saw the greatest catch I've ever seen in that same building that was better than Odell's, but it never counted. And that was DeAndre Hopkins, who made the most incredible one-handed left-handed catch over the top of 2 guys, and watching it live was just incredible. But it was negated because he lined up off the line of scrimmage when he was supposed to be on. And so the 2 greatest catches that I've ever seen from DeAndre were both negated. One for an offensive pass interference, which he had against the Dolphins, and then that one against the Giants. But Pickens is right up there. And it's going to be interesting when we get closer to draft time, Eric. What player is going to be the George Pickens? The guy that was hurt, maybe a little bit immature, kind of off the field, that creates some concerns with scouts, but the talent is so off the charts that you just have to say, you know what, we're going to dive in and we'll deal with it. The Steelers dove in and have dealt with it, and he's been a superstar. I think he's going to be a superstar. It's going to be interesting to watch that all play out. I want to get – I know linemen don't get a lot of love. Offensive linemen don't get a lot of love. But I'm going to give love to a guy that I saw on the opposite sideline for the LA Chargers. And it was a guy that played at Georgia, played tackle, played guard, kind of bounced around.
Was definitely projected to be a legit guard, not a tackle.
And Eric, I can tell you, just looking at him physically, I remember seeing him at Senior Bowl, but looking at him and looking at him standing next to Trey Pipkins, who's the other tackle, you're like, that's a guard. But Jamari Sawyer for the Chargers was drafted pick 195 in the sixth round. And with Rashawn Slater, Pro Bowl tackle, out, Sawyer had to step in at left tackle and stoned everybody he faced. Didn't give up a sack, didn't give up pressure. They ran the ball. Not great, but they ran it enough. No penalties, no false starts. Didn't look like he missed assignments. They didn't give him much help. I think he's going to eventually be the guard with Zion Johnson. It'll be the two of them at guard when Slater comes back. But Eric, Jamari Sawyer, I got to give credit. The Chargers gave him a game ball, and I don't blame them. And I had him at number 75 in the Harris 100, and when he kept falling, I'm like, man, what did I miss? Like, what did I miss? I love this guy. Like, I love everything about him. And maybe because they thought he was a guard or didn't know what to do with him, and he was banged up. I don't know, but the Chargers got a steal, man, in the sixth round of Jamari Sawyer.
Someone there is doing a really good job of evaluating some of these linemen over the last couple years there with the Chargers. And I think the bigger question is, why didn't they have him in sooner or maybe at right tackle? Because, I mean, they've had some issues there. And I'm not, again, when I say issues there, I don't know about this year. I know last year what I watched and right tackle was an issue. So I don't know how that right tackle is doing now, whoever they have there. But just the fact that he can fill in and not just fill in, man, fill in and say, you know what, y'all want to put me at left tackle, I can go to left tackle and I can play well there. That's big time. Again, the evaluation on him coming out, oh, he's a guard. He's a guard. Maybe, you know, just because of how he's built, maybe movement skills, but he showed like, nah, you put me in there at left tackle. Left tackle at that, protecting Justin Herbert's, blind side. That's big time. That's big time. Shout out to him. That's
absolutely big time. And Cowboys, don't think I forgot about you. I watched Tyler Smith against the Commanders. He might have been the best offensive lineman I saw all week, rookie or otherwise.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Tyler Smith at a later date because we got to close it right there. We got to thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen every day. Now make your second listen to the Peacock and Williamson NFL Show. Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson give you the expert NFL analysis in less than 30 minutes. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Eric, that was fun. Wish Ryan would have been here. He missed out on offensive lineman talk, which I know he loves. We had a lot of gunslingers, and we'll be doing it tomorrow and the day after that and the week after that and the month after that right here on Locked On NFL Draft. For Eric, I'm John. We'll see you next time. Let's go.
Peace.